The enemy is upon us. It's time to dig in, to stand our ground, and watch for the next attack. You're in the Foxhole with Jason Parker.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Foxhole, where we stand our ground and watch for the enemy's next move. Today is February 22nd, 2024, and today I'm actually going to be playing a replay. I got family over. We've had a lot of emergencies happen. I had to attend a funeral today. It was a beautiful service, and I had to say goodbye to a family member. So I'm going to go ahead and play this old episode. Before I get there, let me do a couple of announcements. We were supposed to be doing a Name That Tune with Karen Carpenter and maybe Tiger and maybe, you know, a couple of people, Gardner Goldsmith. We're going to just push that to next week. And if you want to catch Free World on Tuesday, I'm going to try to get Melissa Arterburn on to talk about homesteading because we've been planning that for a while and they're back from Anarchapoco now. So I'm going to see if she can come on for that. So we got a lot of good stuff lined up for you. This Saturday, I won't be on COTS on Knights of the Storm. Franco and Angus Mustang are going to be taking that one because they got my mother going to be down here to stay the day and stuff. But anyway, I should be in the chat, though, because I think she's going to watch with me. That'll be kind of cool. Tonight I'm doing a replay of a show that Handy and I did. It was a pretty good episode. Remember the chicken feed problem where the eggs, you know, the chicken stopped laying the eggs and stuff like that. And everyone's like, oh, it's not the feed. It is the feed. And then he did some controlled experiments. I don't think in this episode we talked about that, but he did them later. And it was pretty much confirmed that's what happened. You know, that there was something that happened to the food, whether it was on purpose or on accident or whatever. But that one didn't get a lot of views because this was a new channel at the time. So I thought it was prudent to play it again to show basically when you talk about the ilk, like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and all these other people that massively want to depopulate the earth, what are they into right now? They're into our food. You know, looking across Europe, they're trying to shut down the gardeners, or not the gardeners, the farmers. And they also want to shut down gardens too, you know, because fertilizer is a CO2 problem. No, the CO2 is you, people. That is what they want to get rid of, is you. And I think we need to really start looking into the food again. I know I started this podcast with the attack or the war on food, and now it's coming full circle. I think it's going to become more like we're going to be eating bugs, lab-grown meat, artificial stuff that, whether it has nutritional value or not, we don't know what's in it. And if we can take a look at this chicken feed problem that caused, you know, chickens to stop laying eggs, that's how they reproduce. What if they put the same garbage in our food in order to bring down the world population? I mean, there's a lot of ways they could do it. I think this is one way they can do it. I just want you to think about that as we rewatch this episode. This is one that I got a lot of new viewers. This is about a year old. So, you know, the newer viewers, please stay tuned. If you've seen this before, feel free to tune out if you want. Please like and comment and stuff like that because we are getting censored. So please do that at least so we have proof that somebody was here because they're playing around with view counts and stuff like that. It's not like I make money on this, but, you know, they do that to demonetize you. And they actually try to cut you off at the ankles before you can get larger. And they try to discourage you. So please like, subscribe, share, whatever you got to do. Leave a comment to show that you were here. But anyway, without further ado, I'm going to play this really excellent episode. I'm sorry. I was new when we did this, so it's not the best quality. But, you know, we were doing what we did, and we're still here today. So, and then hopefully, I will be in the live chat popping in and out. So if you got questions for me, please feel free to throw them in there. And then on Saturday, I think I'm going to be in the chat as Tiger and Angus hold down the fort. They got a really good show planned for you on Knights of the Storm. So without further ado, here we go. Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Foxhole. Again, I'm your host, Jason Barker, and this is a special Sunday broadcast, March 26, 2023. And I have with me Handy, which is going to share with us some stuff he's been doing. If if you remember, we were talking about like some issues with the food and the chickens of laying eggs and things like that. And Handy took it upon himself to do some experimentation. So Handy, why don't you tell us number one about yourself and then about what you've been doing here to kind of like figure out what's going on with this stuff.
All right. Good evening, Jason. Thanks for having me. So anybody that hasn't seen me before, I go by Handy. That's a pseudonym that I use to protect my identity from work, actually. But I've been in the EMS business for a little over 18 years. I'm in my 19th year. Started as a firefighter and worked my way into full-time EMS work on an ambulance as a paramedic. What I've done is I've kept a journal of everything I've seen from year one of this pandemic up until present. And I've made that public on ihandy.substack.com. So for anyone who's interested in firsthand perspective of what I have seen.
So hold on real quick on your iHandy, because I need to put that on our website, on Knights of the Storm website. I was actually working on that today when I contacted you and we decided we would do this broadcast. You kind of like chronicle what happened throughout this pandemic and the correspondence and stuff, right? Is that what you kind of did on your Substack?
Correct. So what happened with that is I was sending, periodic, once a week, once every 2 weeks, just kind of depending on what I was seeing. I was sending that into the David Knight Show. And, he would report on some of that if it was, worth reporting. And after these past 2.5-3 years, I kind of got to thinking I should have kept a journal, but then I went into my sent emails and I do have a journal. It's all my emails.
Absolutely.
So I did. I made all that publicly available. I removed the identifying information from my employer or from patients or even myself, just to keep it neutral.
And you know what? God bless you for that, because I don't think that there's any place out there that has that. Like, people write about it after the fact, their experiences. And, you've been on David Knight, you've been on Knights of the Storm with us, and you talked about what you've seen before, what you've seen after, but you actually went back in time. Mm-hmm. When before we were at today, we were at yesterday, and you were writing then. So it's like pure thoughts. It's what you see right then and there. You can't, it's like you said, it's like a diary. It's like a chronicle.
Correct. Yeah. When you go back through it, if you start at the very beginning, which in the way the Substack is set up is you have to go backwards to the very end of the list and work your way up. But if you go back and do that, everything is listed chronological by date. And it is what I was seeing at that time. And it's written in present tense.
And these aren't things that where you're trying to get a point across. This is just your correspondence of like what you're seeing. There's no motive behind it, no agenda. It's just like you're seeing this, you're writing people and saying, I see this, I see this. And it changes over time, of course.
Correct.
But I think it's the most accurate depiction you're going to get from somebody while everybody was locked down in their homes, watching CNN and Fox News and getting their Grubhub, and sending their kids off to the liquor store because those were open, right? This was something where you were actually out there on the ground working and seeing, you should have been raking up dead bodies in the piles, throwing them in there. I mean, that's what should have been happening according to the news.
Yes. But,
if people want to see what really happened, what you didn't see on the news, maybe they should go check out your Substack and see the correspondence over time. Unfiltered is other than scrubbing up the names and stuff. I think it's an interesting thing that you did, and I think you have a lot of courage for doing that, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's, I'm just trying to be a watchman at this point.
All right. Well, let's move on to one of the things I talked about in a prior episode was the attack on our food and chickens stop laying eggs and things like that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the experimentation? Because you have some birds and stuff, and you farm it. So tell us about what you've been kind of dealing with or working with to try to like figure out how to get around the issues that the rest of the nation is seeing.
Okay. So last summer, I kind of decided to invest in some poultry of my own here at home. And, you know, I live within the city limits in the small, well, it's not small now, but the city in which I live has livestock rules where we're not allowed to own livestock. So what I did was built myself a enclosure, like a cage for quail. And I've been raising quail. I started them in my garage mainly because the winter months were coming and I didn't want them to freeze or anything. So in my little shed, I could keep a heat lamp. I could keep lights on timers. So I could make their environment as close to perfect as I could. So I did that. And I would say right around week 7, I started getting eggs, which was pretty normal. Week 7 or 8 for quail, they're pretty quick. And I've got the jumbo Coturnix species of quail. I think they're a Japanese species, but they're quite popular. In fact, there's a group on Facebook that Coturnix Corner, which has hundreds of thousands of participants in that group. And you know, people get on there and they post their experiences with their quail, you know, what worked, what didn't work, issues they're having. So, you know, I've been a member of that group since I got these eggs and incubated them, hatched them, and I've been taking care of them. So the first bag of feed that I fed them, I think it was Producer's Pride. I'm not certain. I have to go back and look. But the first bag of feed, I didn't have any issues with these quail. They started laying right around 7 weeks, as they should. And shortly after, you know, I ran out of feed, and the closest feed store to me was Tractor Supply. So I went there and got a Purina brand, and they stopped laying eggs. And, you know, I kind of attributed that to maybe it was the season. It's that happens.
So real quick, Handy, just for people who don't know, I'm not going to give away where you live because you have anonymity, but we live in an area, he doesn't live too far from me. Winter is not really winter here. Okay. We're lucky to ever see snow. So, you know, attributing to, you know, egg laying to colder weather. Yeah, I can get it, but it doesn't really get that dang cold around here. Typically chickens and quail and things like that, typically in this region, lay year round. You might have a slow season, a month or two, but it shouldn't just shut off like a faucet. Am I correct in that, Andy?
That's the way I understand it. You know, this whole, you know, raising your own poultry is new to me as well. So, you know, I didn't really have any experience to go on. That's why I joined all these special interest groups on Facebook. You know, so I'm kind of piggybacking on other people's experiences, reading and researching what they're going through. So Pride and Pleasure is the name of the feed that I first started with, and they're by Faithway Feed Company out of Guntersville, Alabama. So that was the first feed that I used, and I didn't have any issues with that. And then when I moved to this Purina, it was at the same time that winter was beginning. So, you know, again, not having much experience, you know, I just kind of attributed it to the weather, you know, the changing of the season. But going forward, when I was giving them a heat lamp, I was giving them the light schedule that they needed, how, you know, the hours of lighting that they needed, and I still wasn't getting any production. You know, and then fast forward to, you know, this spring, and you got all the egg prices going through the roof, and this claim of bird flu that they're using the PCR test to diagnose. You know, I actually went to the local feed store that I initially bought that feed at, and it was very interesting. This was on March 11th that I went to go buy this bag of feed. And I asked the fellow that owns the place, you know, it's always weird starting these conversations, you know, cold start, you know. So I asked the guy, I said, you know, don't think I'm strange or anything, but, you know, I got a kind of a weird question to ask. And I said, have you heard anything about the feed causing the chickens? And he cut me off. You know, he cut me off in the mid-sentence. He said, causing the chickens not to lay eggs?
I was like, yeah. He knew it,
and he knew the brand. He called wow. me by name. He said, is it the Purina brand? I said, yeah, that, and also Dumor. I haven't had any luck with them either. D-U-M-O-R. So,
wow. He obviously, you're not the first person to question it, and you're kind of a newbie at this, right? But you've done what a smart person would do. You reached out to the community that's been doing this a while. You got all the tips and tricks. You know what should happen, what not to do wrong and what to do right. But you go in there as a newbie and say, hey, I got this weird thing going on. And he just says, oh, these other people doing the same thing are complaining about the same stuff. That's correct. Pretty much what you're saying, right?
Correct. Yeah. So he told me he's never had as many customers. Like, he's picked up new customers, never picked up as many new customers as since this began. And I asked him, I said, well, how long has this been going on? And he said, it's been going on for months. You know, plural, months. So, but while we're having this conversation, I found this to be very interesting. While we're having this conversation, there was a young couple there, probably early 30s. And the guy steps up and he goes, hey, I didn't mean to interrupt, but hey, I tried this myself. He told us he separated his chickens out into two groups. And he said he put one group in one chicken tractor, which, if you're not familiar with the term, a chicken tractor is basically a small enclosure that you can move around the yard so that the chickens can scratch and peck and eat and stuff. And
yeah, it's like a chicken run that you can give them fresh ground once.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha. So he said he separated his chickens out into two groups in two separate runs, and he gave one group this pleasure pride feed that I got. And he gave the other group the Purina. He said, within 2 days, the Purina group stopped laying. And the other group was fine. But he said, then he switched. And when he switched, it took another 2 days, and the problem switched. So he said, I don't know what the problem is. I'm just saying that when I give them this one feed, they don't lay eggs. But when I give them the other feed, they do. And when I switched it, the problem switched.
Well, that sounds like more science and research than anything else I've heard, where you actually establish two groups. One's a control and the other is like the experimental, and then you swap them. That sounds to me like, so did you try doing the same thing?
So with me, what's happened with me is I've been through one 50-pound bag of the Purina. That was the first food that I gave them when they stopped laying. And then I switched to the Dumor, and the problem did not resolve. So on March 11th, I'd ran out of feed. So I went back to, you know, passed up Tractor Supply and went to this other store. And that's where I had that conversation. And I got this other feed, and I have switched them over. The 16th was the first day on the feed that they had at the very beginning. And I haven't gotten any eggs yet. Now, what I have seen, and this may be the season, it may not, I can't confirm this, but the roosters, the males in the group, have started to crow again, which they did not crow once all winter through, even with
their lights. They're getting their manhood back. They're slowly getting their manhood back.
So the roosters have...
America needs that.
So the roosters have seem like they've changed behavior, but the females, the chicks or chickens, I don't know what you'd call a female quail, but the females, they have not laid any eggs. I don't have any indication that, you know, they're not bloated like you would see with a, you know, egg-bound female. They're not, I don't see anything yet.
Do you think that maybe because they were young when you started them on it and they were fed it for so long that it's like a cumulative thing? Whereas the other people, maybe their eggs were, you know, they had eggs for a long time or whatever, and then they recently came into the problem and then swapped them out right away. So the problem went away quickly. I mean, is it
interesting or what? It's an interesting point, you know. From what I understand, that one of the reasons why females, pregnant human females, don't get vaccines is because of seed change. You know, the genetic change that you may do, the damage that you may do to this developing fetus, you know, this person that's inside.
You know, real quick, and I actually took a picture of this and I meant to send it to David. In the early days of this jab, I was sitting in there. I was actually going, you know, once this jab thing started happening, I actually developed high blood pressure out of nowhere. So they say I have it anyway. And I do, actually, to a certain extent, I do. But I was sitting in there waiting because they like to make you sit and wait for a long time and, like, chill out before they take your reading. So mm-hmm. you have as low a number as possible. I'm like, that's not everyday living conditions, but whatever. And I'm sitting there staring. And I did this for a week. For a week, I had to go in once a day to get a week baseline, right? And I'm staring at this poster that says, if you're pregnant, and it's the only poster in the entire room, this little room with about five or six chairs. It says, if you're pregnant, let your doctor know before getting any vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I'm just staring at that like, and right now they're pushing this vaccine for pregnant people.
Correct.
And it's insane because obviously we know that at this period in your life, like you're talking about, you know, a certain period of your life, you want to avoid anything that's going to like mess up that cycle or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there because I never did send that off to David. I wanted to, but I didn't for some reason or not, whatever.
It's an interesting point. When you make changes in utero like that, they tend to be permanent.
Right, right.
You know, and there's a lot of medications that have come out like that. Acetaminophen is neurotoxic to developing fetus, you know, to mm-hmm. children in the womb.
Isn't there a lawsuit right now on that? There's a huge...
I'm not certain. Okay. I don't know. I can't comment on that. I don't know. I know that the research is now coming out that, yeah, this stuff's not, you know, it's granted, you know, I get it. It's a risk benefit thing for us adults, you know, when we have a fever. Do you want the fever to be 104 plus, or do you want to knock it down with some acetaminophen? You know, it's a risk benefit thing, but for a developing child, I mean, that could be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
But again, going back to the other, so this feed, you know, when I started giving them the new feed was right around 7 or 8 weeks when I only got one set of eggs, you know, from, it looked like each female in the cage, each laid an egg. And then I switched the feed and I never got another egg. I still have it. So it's been 10 days now since I've switched back to the original feed. And now I wonder, is the damage permanent since I gave it at such a young age? And I don't even know what it is in the feed that's causing this. The guy at the store didn't. I asked him what he thought and he didn't have an opinion. He said, I don't know. But he said, I don't know, but I think it's got something to do with the price of these eggs at the store. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, I looked into this before I was doing the egg thing. And, you know, the articles that were written, you know, the feed companies, they're kind of pointing the finger at the feed companies saying, well, these feed companies also have, you know, egg producers. So they're crushing their competition by feeding them poison or whatever. And they, you know, they all came out and they said, look, our ingredients have not changed. Nothing changed in any of our feed, which is probably true. But what they did admit, and it's kind of a small print, you got to read it. What they admit is, well, we don't know where we source this ingredient, and this ingredient from. It could change. So when you look at people like Bill Gates and stuff that are doing this GMO crap and, you know, Beyond Meat, I mean, if they got a cheaper source of sorghum or whatever from another company, yeah, your recipe didn't change, but technically the ingredients did, because you might be getting something that's a GMO based or whatever. And so I wonder about that. I just wonder, maybe the feed companies aren't in on the gag, you know. Maybe it's somewhere that they got a cheaper version of whatever ingredient they need. Because I believe them. I believe them when they say, hey, we haven't changed our ingredients. So it's not us. I believe them. I actually believe them. There's no reason to think they're lying. However, if you got from brand A, whatever ingredient, and then now you go to brand B, which is now cheaper because they've made things so prohibitively expensive to grow. You know, I don't know. It's my rabbit hole brain going down that one, you know. What do you think, man? Do you think that it's intentional, or do you think it's accidental, or do you think it's just coincidental, I guess?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I haven't thought about it in that from that angle, but, you know, it at the very least right now they have plausible deniability, you know. Yeah. If even if they do know, they can say, well, you know, we got our feed, you know, we got our ingredients from supplier A before, and now we're getting it from supplier B. It must be them.
But
it has been going on for months, and you know, I was going back through.
Well, the thing is, not just you. Yeah. I mean, you're one person that I personally know. I have well, my aunt and uncle, they're not having problems that I know of, but they kind of feed their quail, because they have quail as well. They feed them kind of like stuff that they put together. Mm-hmm. So they're not having problems. My mom has quail. They're obviously not laying because it's Iowa and it's really cold there. So they're not laying. But across the nation with chickens, quail, everything, everybody's experiencing the same problem. They grow on kind of like a, I don't want to call it an industrial scale, but it's kind of like a prepackaged scale where, you know, you buy your feed, you throw the feed to the animals and the animals give you what you want. Whereas more of
the 15 minute city. Way, what? The 15 minute city we just saw.
Yeah. I love that one. The only thing they forgot in that video, by the way, the 15 minute, I wish I had it queued up, cause that's perfect. I wish I could show that. The guy was like, you know, they're happy. Everything's right here. And then I get to collect what they produce and they're happy.
They're none the wiser.
Yeah, and they're none the wiser. The only thing that he missed in that video is, well, when we have one positive PCR test, we cull them all. And yeah. That's what it's coming to. That's what it's going to come to. When you're in a 15-minute city and Jay Barker right here, I'm sick. Oh, Jay Barker's got some deadly disease. The entire block, C block of this 15-minute city has to die.
Well, remember in China, they were saying it was traveling up the sewer pipes to the apartments above.
Yeah.
But it's all based on this test. And I can tell you from personal experience, they ran the test. A coworker of mine ran the test at one of the hospitals over here. And it was a virgin swab. They never touched anybody. And it came back positive. And I asked her then.
Yeah.
It's in the Substack. I asked her then. I said, so do you still believe all this pandemic stuff? She said, well, it's on the news. Don't you see
that? That was the point of locking us down, because now they can just spoon feed everybody. It's like it's a funnel where they're just shoving the information they want you to know. And I think that COVID happened because 2030 wasn't happening fast enough. When you're talking about CBDC, 15-minute cities, you're talking about no one's going to have a car, everyone's going to ride share. Like all these things are happening right now. They're happening, but it wasn't happening fast enough. The only thing that they're lacking is a way to get rid of guns. And that's coming next, brother. Trust me, that's coming next.
Well, they're already working on that with the, what was it, Discover?
The codes.
Yes, the codes.
Yeah, just buying cash, man. But they're getting rid of cash. So there you go.
Well, there's the catch. Yeah. You know, with that Bank of America patent. I mean, look at that. In fact, you mentioned rideshare. Page 4 or 5 of that document where it has all the pretty little diagrams. It had rideshare as one of the little bubbles. Medical was the one that really stuck out to me because of what I do.
Well, I mean, I actually shared that on our show yesterday. And the thing is that a bank should not care about your medical history, should not care about your flight. It should not care about because there were several things in that diagram, right? There was your passport. There was your air travel. There was your ride share. There was your medical. What does the bank have to do with that? All they have to do is process transactions. That's it. but somehow they have a patent on this.
Mm-hmm.
That they're rolling up into a single passport that's going to deny, approve or deny everything you do. Like if people can't see it, it's right there. It's right there. I mean, go watch yesterday's episode, people. Go watch it. Go to the last thing we covered is what Handy shared with that that patent. And it says it all. It says everything they're trying to do right now. And the whole thing about CBDC, we tear it apart. CBDC is not needed. It doesn't solve any problems. It doesn't solve a single issue whatsoever. It's not like a new currency. It's actually backed by the US dollar. So we still have the same problems. But now what they've done is added some layers of control on it.
Correct.
And they've added the passport. They've added the air travel. They've added the ride sharing. They've added everything, your medical, everything to it. So if you don't understand how bad CBDC is, go watch that episode, please, and see they have in mind for you total domination, like the chicken in the hen house. You know, they're going to give you everything you need in your little 15-minute city, and then they're going to collect your production. And you know what? Whenever they determine that you're sick and you're no longer needed, exactly. I'm sorry, Handy. I went off on a tangent.
No, you're fine. And
no, thank you for that, by the way. Thank you for sending me that.
Oh, you're welcome. Touching back on that document, when you look at page one, and this is for everybody out there watching, there's a little just barcode.
Hold on. I'm going to bring it up, man. Let me bring it up for you. I think it's in my downloads folder. If it's right there, I'll bring it up so we can. This is it right here. I got it. Boom. Let me do a screen share. Share screen. Entire screen. Boom.
And this is super important because look at the date. Look. Okay. So on the right side, down under other references, read that.
Where are we at? Other publications.
Other publications. That. Read that right there.
Let me zoom it in. The Known Traveler. Is this what I'm supposed to be reading?
Correct. Yeah, look who that refers back to and the date.
All right. The Known Traveler, unlocking the potential of digital identity for secure and seamless travel. And they give a website here. Wow, I wish I would have caught this. World Economic Forum, really?
Correct.
Oh, wow. 2018. So this actually predates when I tore this apart in our show yesterday. I looked at the reference patents, and the reference patents were dated back as far as 2019, which means that they probably had planning in the works as far as 2015 or before to get an actual patent, right? Mm-hmm. We don't vote for these people.
No. And that's the point. And
again, let me bring that chart up. Let me bring that chart up so people can see what we're talking about. Here we go. Let me bring the share it again.
And so what caught my eye, of course, is down there at the, if we're looking at it from that angle, the bottom left caught my eye because it's medical. That's what I do. So why does the bank have anything to do with my medical?
Oh, wow. It just, I don't know what happened to my computer today, but everything thinks it's like on a trial version now. Mm. But anyway, if you can bear with me, this is the things that is going to be tied in. So you get your passport control over here. Everything's tied to a mobile device. That's your track and trace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ride share, because we won't own a car.
Correct.
Air travel.
When you're allowed.
Payment activity makes sense to me because this was actually filed. And I want to say this. This was filed by Bank of America. Just mm-hmm. so people know, this patent was filed by Bank of America. What does Bank of America have anything to do with your passport, your mobile device, your ride share, your air travel? Payment activity? Yeah, I get that. Okay. And then medical right here. What does a bank have to do with your medical?
Well, I believe that has a lot to do with the new codes that they've put in for the vaccinated versus unvaccinated. One of the first questions when I bring people in into the emergency room, one of the first questions is always, are you vaccinated or are you not? And I reported to David a long time ago that that they had switched the software or updated it at the ERs to, that was one of the first screens that comes up that the nurse has to click a yes or no before you can move on to the triage to actually get to the problem they're there for in the first place.
You know, the last time I went in into the ER, I was sick. And, you know, I've never been sick so much since the people around me got vaccinated, just saying. It's never too serious, but it's kind of an annoyance. But me being unvaccinated, I have to let people know at work because I'm unvaccinated. It's my responsibility to tell them that I might have COVID and so go test me. The last time that happened, I went in and told my doc, I was like, hey, I'm not feeling so hot. I was throwing up this morning. It turned out to be food poisoning or something like that. But I went in and I was like, hey, I don't feel so hot. He's like, well, go to the sick call. You know, if you're in the military, you know what sick call is.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have people there. They're like, go to the ER. Sat in the ER forever. And then they finally admit me. And here I am around all these people in the ER. You know, apparently I have COVID, they think. But I'm, you know, exposed to everybody. And then when I get brought in, the nurse was like, she had her mask on and she was mumbling under her breath, you know, like, oh, stupid mask. It doesn't do anything, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. And they were really, really busy. They were like 8 hours behind. Like there were that many people. And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be here. I just have to be because I'm not vaccinated. She's like, so what? COVID's not a thing anymore. And this was like 8 months ago, eight months ago. And when the doctor came in, I said the same thing. I'm like, hey, just get me in and out of here. Just give me the COVID test, whatever. Let me get out of here. And he's like, COVID's not a thing anymore. It's RSV now. It's all RSV, which what happened to that? I thought that was going to be the new killer thing, right? But it just went away because we have other emergencies now to distract. I thought RSV was going to kill everybody. Just went away. But he basically said the same thing. He's like, we're not going to give you, they didn't give me a COVID test. They just told me to go home for a day. It's like, I thought you were all scared of COVID. And then the other day I went to my retirement when I just got sick with this stuff. I told him at work, I said, hey, we got to go to this, we got to go to this thing down downtown Savannah in a small cramped area with about 50 people. I'm like, I'm pretty sick. I don't know if you want me there. They're like, oh no, you're retiring. We have to send you off. Well, which I'm glad they did. They treated me very well. And they gave me some nice, if you look over my head here, some cool stuff they gave me. Treated me really well, but I was like, I don't know if I should be here. I don't want to get y'all sick, you know? And they're like, ah, it's not a thing anymore. It's not a thing. I'm like, 6 months ago, if I so much as a sniffled, you're like, oh, get away from me, you unvaccinated fool, you know? Now they don't care. And so why are people still doing the ritual with the masks and stuff? If I don't get it, man.
Well, with us, what I see currently in the EMS world is we still have the mask mandates, if you want to, orders, the rules. But nobody's following it. You know, it's very seldom that I have a partner that will actually follow those rules. And even in the case that they do, like one of the other last shifts that I worked, we went to the very hospital that I've been avoiding for months and months. You know, they're the ones that will call, you know, they threatened to call the police on us. Now, I haven't seen that happen. It's been a lot of threats. But what they have done is they will definitely call our supervisor and they will put us on final written notice. Basically is, you know, you skip strike one and two, you know, you're just right. Just
kind of like YouTube, three. Right? It's like,
YouTube. Yes. Yeah, exactly. They're following the same pattern. So, you know, personally, what I've been doing is I've been very strategic being part-time. I can work full-time hours and I do often, but I pick and choose the truck that I want to work on based on where it posts most often. You know,
that's good. You get that ability to do that. And that's what's saving your butt right now. Like,
correct. Yeah. I've been very strategic, you know, and there's been weeks where I didn't have a shift because there wasn't a shift open that I would take just based on the truck that was available. So, you know, it's just been a game of risk, really.
Can I ask you something? Because I've seen this myself and I want your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows this is bullshit. They've known it from day one. They've done the masking protocol. They've done all the hand washing and the, you know, put the, everything smells like freaking alcohol because everyone's putting they're drying their skin out actually, that's even worse because you're getting cracked skin now and you're getting.
Yeah. Now you have entry from other places.
Yeah. But they all know it's bullshit, but it's almost like they come down on you because you're not going along with the Stockholm syndrome. So they're more vengeful and they just want to bust you out because, you know, I have to go along with this. I don't believe in it, but I go along with it, but you're not. So I'm going to get you. That's well, they look how at I it, feel.
They look at it as seriously that you're stomping on their freedom. And it's funny.
It's the other way around.
I know. But they look at it that way. All these measures are in place because you're not following the rules. And, you know, half of them, I don't know, you know, But, you know, if you look at things like the ASH experiment, I mean, I'm watching.
Oh, yeah, good.
You know, I'm watching it, you know, when you bring this one subject that's not in on it, you know, into the room, and within one or two questions, they're going with the general consensus. And I've watched that in the hospital and even in the EMS community, where these people will, it's weird. It's almost like a combination of the ASH experiment and the Milgram experiment, you know, where you get the orders from authority and you just follow them because authority told you to, you know, no matter if it means death for the subject.
I think that there's a bit of envy too. People are used to life as it is, right? They're not free thinkers. They've been brought up. Maybe they decided they had to go to college because their parents told them to go to college. There's like a model. It's like a model lifestyle to live. And then they have to follow the government because the government is the thing. When somebody steps outside of that, they're like, hey, wait a minute. How come you don't have to do what I'm doing? How come you get to be free? They're very envious. And then they try to beat you down because you're not a slave like they are. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that people know it's wrong, but they go along with it because everyone else is going along with it. It's the thing to do. But this guy don't have to. That's not fair. Well, you know what? What's not fair is that you're trying to make me go along with it. Why don't you come with me? Jump out in the, you know, like what's that little house in the prairie when the little girl's running in the field at the beginning, you know, and the flowers. Come here. Come to the freedom. Please.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, these, and I see them at the hospitals. The one in particular, you know, I avoid using the names, but yeah, there's one in particular here that I see these, you know, when I visit these hospitals, you know, multiple times in a day, you know, these nurses are wearing some of them double masks. You know, I think they're the ones that truly, truly believe the whole narrative. But you see other ones with their mask on. You see them with down here. You see them on the chin, even. And, you know that they know. You know, when you walk in the ER, and I've even told the patients, because some of them will actually ask me, you know, what I think, what I've seen. And not many believe me, but, you know, whatever. I try.
You know, I'll tell you this. Handy, you're not jabbed.
No.
I'm not jabbed. You don't wear a mask. I don't wear a mask. We're not dead. Correct. Just saying. I'm just saying, let's look at it for what it is. Well, I've been around people that have gotten COVID. I've supposedly had COVID. I've never lost my sense of taste or smell. I think I got the flu. That's what I think I got. I think I got some side effects from people around me that got jabbed. When everybody around me got the shot at the same time, I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's shedding or what. I'm just saying it's correlation. I'm not going to say it's causation, but I'm not freaking dead. And guess what? If I get COVID, I'll get over it and then I can move on with my life. I don't need to wear a mask for the rest of my life.
Well, I mentioned, you know, David asked me what I thought about the lab leak theory and all that. And I brought up the point that when I first began my career, I was a firefighter. That's what I did. And not once did we ever rush into the building and stand there and argue about who started it, where it started. You know, and I kind of look at the actual, if there is an actual virus, I don't even like to argue it, you know, if it's the flu rebranded or if it is a man-made virus. It, to me, from what I've seen, is a lack of an emergency. I haven't seen a pandemic the whole time. When you go through the Substack, the overarching theme, I believe, when I was going back through it, you know, because I forget everything that I've written. You know, I remember bits and pieces, but I went back and edited everything out that was identifying. So I had to read it all. And what I saw reading back through my own documentation was there was no pandemic. There was a lack of an emergency.
And we still have a lack of an emergency. The biggest thing I've seen is not the pandemic is not the virus. The pandemic is the reaction to the virus. Correct. And that's a worldwide. That's why I call it a pandemic, because it was worldwide.
Correct, but it's psychological. Problems,
yeah, it's psychological, economical. You got the jab rolling out. I mean, these now are that, things that...
Now, that is medical. Now, yeah. I've seen some crazy things with that.
Oh, we got way off topic, man.
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff, though, brother. Let's get back onto your quail. So where did we leave off, man?
So we were talking about I believe we left off where I had fed them the old feed at very early age. Yeah. At a very early age in their development, they technically were not through developing yet. They were still juveniles at the time that I started feeding them this feed that everybody else is having. Not everybody, but there's a large number of people having the same kind of issues. And it kind of, let me tie this back in with the jab as far as the psychology. When I was going back through these special interest groups, you know, Koternik's Corner on Facebook, Backyard Chickens on Facebook, and looking, you know, you can just search the term Purina and it'll bring up just eyewitness account after eyewitness account. But what's funny is you have an equal number of people pushing back, telling them that they're crazy. They're conspiracy theories. That's just a Facebook rumor. But I encountered the same thing with the jab. Not everybody has a deathly reaction to this thing, but enough that I've never seen the number of people sick or injured or suddenly dying than I saw when this whole thing rolled out. You know, it was, but the same sort of psychology, the same pushback that you see when people talk about, well, my aunt was injured. Oh, you're crazy. You know, that kind of thing. And these people, I see the same exact reaction in these, when people talk about this feed, when they just say, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on, but when I fed my chickens this kind of feed, I got this result. And when I fed them this other feed, I got this other result. And then people attack them. But, you know, that's what I'm seeing when I go back through these groups. And I'm one of the ones.
That goes back to what I'm talking about. Like, why are people in denial? Is it Stockholm syndrome or what? Because you're talking about a group of people that they want their chickens to do well, or their quail to do well, or their birds to do well. And people are talking, like, if you're having issues, you should be looking for a solution. But whenever you say, hey, this might be the problem, and why are you doing this? Why aren't you looking at all possible avenues of what? I mean, at least look into it and then rule it out. Don't just shun it. Don't just turn it off. You know, with the vaccine too, you know, like, people haven't looked into it. They just say, oh, no, it's safe and effective. It's safe and effective. Well, we haven't looked into it. We don't know that.
It may have been safe for you. You know, I'm not convinced that the same stuff was in every injection. I've seen such a wide range of effects from this thing. I don't know. We don't know.
Well, they've already determined that, most of the various reports that were adverse reactions actually were traced back to the same lot numbers. So we don't know, you know, they produce this at freaking warp speed. They had multiple places cranking it out. Who knows if they did it right. You know,
just because you didn't have a reaction doesn't mean that somebody else didn't. And that's what I'm getting at. You know,
you can get stung by a bee and be fine. And I can get stung by a bee and go into anaphylaxis, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even with the same stuff, it's not guaranteed. Even if it is all the same stuff, it's not guaranteed that everybody's going to have the same reaction. We're all built just slightly different. So the same sort of thing I'm seeing with this feed, the reaction that people are having, and I was just looking at it this morning, going through these Facebook posts, and it's even to the point where people will post about it, and then they get attacked so viciously from the majority that they post edits. You guys are bullies. You guys, I don't even want to be a part of this group anymore. But wow. It's crazy. But I see the same thing with the jab when people talk about, when I talk about it, you know, if I talk to, you know, my ex-wife, you know, I just talked to her the other day about it and she got angry. I can't help what I saw. I mean, right. It's what I saw.
Yeah. So, hey, what's your next thing? So if I get you right, I'm catching it right. So you saw there was an issue. Of course, you had very young birds.
Correct.
They started laying, and then immediately it changed. You saw this nationwide happening. So you looked into it. You said, hey, let me change the feed. For you, it didn't work. For some people, it apparently did work with more mature birds. So well, you're kind of on the fence of if maybe they got the feed too early in their life cycle, that it might be permanent or longer lasting. What's your next step on as far as what you're going to try to see?
So with these, you know, I think I've got 12 right now. What I'm going to do with these is it takes about 3 to 4 months for them to go through the feed. I'm going to give them this 3 to 4 months. It's only been 10 days, you know? So, you know, this other person that I talked to at the hardware store, the feed store, you know, they had a 2-day turnaround, but they were also dealing with mature birds.
Right.
So
We talked about that yesterday on Knights of the Storm about rising cancer rates. And they, I forget the term they use, but it's like, you know, every successive generation has a more increased risk of cancer in their later years because of their exposure to whatever. And I said, that's counterintuitive because as we progress in technology, we get cleaner. We have a healthier, supposedly healthier eating, healthier lifestyles. So you'd think that the exposure would go down as far as hazardous things, right? But it's actually going up. And then we talked about how maybe, just maybe, the stuff we're exposed to that we're injecting and eating could be causing cancer rates to go up later in your life. It could be something that persists throughout your life because you were given, it was given to you so young.
Are you thinking processed foods or is that the route you're going?
I know that I got a series of injections as a child, you know, for school and stuff like that. But now it's like 4 to 6 times more what they give young children now. So they're already saying that, oh, every decade or so, the risk of cancer as you get old, you know, when you get older, goes up because of what you were exposed to as a child. And I'm like, well, what are we getting exposed to as a child that's more hazardous than what we had in like the 1800s?
The chicken nuggets. When we were
basically sitting in raw sewage, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's either the messed up food, maybe the chemicals we're putting on the food, maybe it's the jabs we're giving, you know, for all kinds of different things, you know?
Well,
I don't know.
That brings up, you know, a whole other can of worms, you know, with Monsanto and the glyphosates and all that. You know, I don't have a dog in that fight. I haven't researched it, but I've, you know, well, you can't avoid hearing about it.
Anything outside of, you know, put a seed in the ground and let God grow it, you know, and you just nurture it and raise it. It can't be any better than that. That's perfect.
Correct.
So we start messing with that.
From what I understand, the way that stuff works is it poisons the ground so that only a specific seed will grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about the Monsanto, the glyphosate and stuff like that. Yeah,
and yeah.
The GMO. The GMO stuff.
What have you looked? I'm just curious. Have you looked at the cereal boxes? You know, in the local store, you can't find, you know, 90% of them, I would guess, or more, say GMO on the side now.
Well, I mean, I would throw this out there, and it may be conspiratorial, but China's buying up our farmland, and Bill Gates is buying up our farmland. I think that even if you have a good product, like we were talking about with the chicken feed, they could say, hey, we haven't changed our recipe at all, but where are you getting this particular ingredient A or ingredient B from? With inflation and things like that, and they basically pushed all of production of everything outside the U.S. because it's so prohibitively expensive. So companies are going to look for the cheapest alternative. Mm-hmm. And if you have these people that are buying up all the farmland, they're kind of like taken over, yeah, they can operate at a loss if they really want to push something. And this is where I'm getting conspiratorial, because Bill Gates is the largest owner of farmland in the U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. Overnight, he did this. He could be putting something in the food and selling it at a loss because he has his IA immunization agenda 2030 that he's on record. On record, you can look it up.
Oh, yeah.
IA 2030. He wants to inject everybody with everything, you know, and he becomes the largest farm owner in America right after they figure out how to get mRNA into vegetables. So what's to say that they aren't putting that into ingredients that are going to other food products that we don't know? I'm just saying, it's like I said, conspiratorial, but it makes sense to me.
Well, it's certainly going on. It's certainly a risk.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to ask why. Why would Bill Gates, the guy he wasn't even good at computers, man. He stole what he had. I've known that since I was a kid.
Well, you know, he
dropped out of college twice because he's a dumbass.
Yeah.
The guy's just, he's a freaking dork, man. He's not a smart guy. Trust me. He's smart at getting over on people. And he's got that little smirk on his face that shows everything. When he's talking, you could tell he's got stuff going on in his head.
Mm-hmm.
This evil guy.
Well, you know, him, Fauci, they're all cut from the same cloth.
I think Fauci actually believes his own nonsense, to be honest with you.
I think well, maybe. I thoroughly enjoyed that. What was it? The American Masters or whatever it was. That clip. Oh, I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, I don't know. Getting back to the other.
Sorry. I got off on that. I got derailed again, man.
No, getting back to the other, you know, I'm seeing such pushback, and I get the same kind of pushback if I mention, you know, it's what I've seen. But that's the thing. It's not what I think. I've tried very hard to avoid my own biases on it. I know I have them, but I've tried to stick with what I've seen and let you connect the dots. You know, I saw this, they said this.
Well, I would say that when you first brought it up, before you had any biases at all, you just had a question. When the guy at the feed store was completing your sentence, that should have said a lot right there.
Yeah. And then the other couple, and there was a third party that walked up to say the same thing. So there was, you know, a group of four of us there talking that, you know, well, let's see, it's me, the couple, and the one that walked up. So three of us and the owner. So four of us. So we're all sitting there talking, saying the same thing, and none of us know each other. You know, and that was just one spot at one point in time.
Yeah. And you don't necessarily have the same political background or beliefs.
I have no idea what their political beliefs are.
So if taking that sample, and maybe there was what, 15, 20 people in the store, right? At the given time, if you extrapolate that out to the population of people, you know, in areas like that you can have birds and stuff like that, that's a considerable amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably having the same problem, and maybe they're not wanting to talk about it because we've been conditioned not to talk about it through the COVID stuff. That's kind of where that ties in.
Well, don't
say anything.
Remember the coworker that I worked with 28 years in the business, asked him, you wanted me to ask him why people are keeping their mouths shut, you know, when they know what's going on. And that's what he thought, you know, they don't want to be labeled a conspiracy theorist, you know, and yeah, it's a stigma that's out there that really, if you just question anything, that you're automatically a conspiracy theorist. I don't think that's a bad thing to question things.
No, that's science, man. That's what science is.
Well, you know, the science is settled, they say.
I am the science.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you attack me, you're attacking science. Oh, no, you're not. I mean, it's... science is never settled. I mean, we would never make any advancements if that were the case.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't know about gravity and Earth would be flat and, you know.
Yeah, that's a whole other argument.
Oh man, I got people at work actually that are flat earthers. I'm neither nor. I don't think it matters, honestly.
It really doesn't. And you know, if it's a semicircle, a donut.
I would tend to believe that it's a dome kind of thing, you know, like a, I don't know. I'm a surveyor, so I know there's some curvature to it because you know, if you survey it a large enough area, you realize it's not actually flat.
Well, you run into parallax trigonometry problems.
Right, exactly.
But I mean,
if I go into space and look down on it myself, I can't say for sure. So I'm not, and that's a mute argument. That's to divide people. It really is. Well, but hey, we're running long, man.
You know, this is what matters to me.
Yeah, right.
I don't care if it's round, if it's flat, it doesn't matter to me. This is what I worry about back here.
Yeah. Hey, we're running pretty long now. We're almost an hour in. That's pretty awesome. We can be a 10-minute thing. So where do you plan to go? I think we went here and then I jumped us off the rails. Where do you plan to go from here? I know you're going to run through the rest of your month or so of feed.
If they make it through this other 50-pound bag of feed and I still don't have any egg production, I mean, unfortunately, I think I'm just going to cull the herd and start over because, you know, it's one of these things where if they have been damaged, you know, if they've been damaged by the feed to the point where they're just not going to produce ever, I don't really want to eat that either. So,
And you don't want to get new birds and have them maybe cross-contaminate either.
That's true. So yeah, I'd have to start all over, pressure wash this little enclosure that I built.
My family's experience with quail and one really bad experience. My cousin spent a fortune after he got out of the military and he bought this quail farm and it had something, some kind of mite or something in there that, the guy duped him. The guy who sold him the farm duped him. And, he ended up going freaking bankrupt over it and lost the property. But quail are so fickle. And that's to be fair, like, I'm glad you're doing and being diligent about it because you can easily say, it's just quail. It's quail, but you're doing it outright. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once you kind of ruin an area for quail, you've got to scrub it. You've got to like completely scrub it because any issues are going to come on to the next birds you bring on. And I know that from experience from my family. So
I've been, extremely lucky, I guess, with these. They've been very hardy. I haven't had any issues. I haven't lost any. I did butcher four of the males, you know, and they're in the freezer now. But again, if it ends up playing out where they're permanently damaged, I don't know what's in them and I don't want to ingest that. So unfortunately, you know, you can't turn them loose. They're not native species either. And it'd kind of be cruel if they've lived their whole life in this 15-minute city I built for them. And then I turn them loose in the world and they don't have any access to feed or any of that stuff. They've never foraged.
It's like kicking your kid out at 5 years old and be like, good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think the most humane thing would be to cull them, you know, cause I don't really want to keep them as pets either. That doesn't do me any good.
No. And they could make your next bird sick too, if there's really something to it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So
one thing you could do, well, you said they're not native, but my uncle, they raise quail and they do the eggs, but they also do where they raise the ones to release and people pay them good money, really, really good money to go out to like their property and they'll have like 10 birds or whatever, and they'll just release them. Mm. And then they have their friends come out and they hunt them. You know, I don't know if I'd want somebody eating a bird that might be infected with something.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. If I won't eat it, I have a little moral quandary there that I'd.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I don't know that I would.
I'm not sure that these people that shoot them actually eat them or if they just shoot them because they love to kill stuff. Not really sure. Me, if I shoot it, I'm going to eat it. That's just me. But not every hunter is like that.
Well, I'm kind of stuck in the city limits again. Police station is 1 mile away. If I shoot a gun, pretty sure they'll be right here.
Oh crap.
Yeah.
Somebody calling. My tenant from Missouri is calling me. I'll call her back. But anyway, yeah, let's get out of here, man. Any final thoughts? We've been on right on an hour, man. I did not expect to go an hour with you. That's pretty cool.
No, I mean, the only thing I can really say leaving, the same thing I said before when I was on the show is, you know, my bread and butter has been the medical field, and what we're seeing is still not normal. We're not seeing I'm not seeing the number of people dropping dead, just for no reason, but the rapid cancers and these rapid neurologic conditions, you know, the Guillain-Barre's, the Parkinson's, the Alzheimer's, the dementia, you know, we're seeing upticks in that I've never seen before. You know, I've been in this business.
Strange cancers,
but the rapid ones.
Yep.
The thing that I've never seen before is people that go to the doctor and find out they have stage 4. I mean, 0 to stage 4.
No warning. I know. No. I've been hearing this all over the place, and it's that elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about because they've conditioned us to don't talk about it. You're a conspiracy theorist, but it's happening in front of my eyes.
Yes.
We've never seen this in our lifetime, you know?
Now I've had patients with cancer, and usually what happens is an organ system, and one organ system is affected. Maybe it's skin, maybe, you know, it's colon, but they have symptoms and they get there and it's stage 1 or 2. And, you know, they get it cut out. They go through a round of chemo, some radiation, stuff like that. But what we see now, more than I've ever seen before, are the people who were healthy. You know, they're active, they're healthy, they're young, and they have an ailment and they go to the doctor and boom, stage 4. I mean, it's already metastasized to several organ systems out of the blue. And we've just never seen that. That's just not something that I'm used to seeing. And I'm seeing it in people younger than me. And I know I'm getting older. I know that it's going to happen eventually where the majority of my patients are going to be younger than me. I get that, but I'm only 43. So, you know, it's just not normal for me. I have not seen that until now.
It's never been normal and not, I mean, it rare, it's a rare cunts, you know, but now it's like every other day you're seeing it, you know?
Yeah. You know, cause where I see it, you know, I don't pick people up at home that are dealing with this. I pick them up at the cancer center because they're doing chemo and these people are sick. You know, the chemo is terrible. You know, my mom, and I think I'm in the same boat where if I ever come down with cancer or something like that, I don't want chemo. I don't want it. I've seen what it does, you know, and I get it. It'll buy some people some time, but my grandmother went through 4 years of that and it was a 4-year hell. I don't want that.
We have a good friend that just, I just talked to her the other day, from actually close to where we're moving back to. And she went through chemo cause she got cancer, believe it or not. Her husband got her fake boobs and she got cancer from the fake boobs because she got them early on, you know. And then he ended up leaving her because when she got cancer, chemo wrecked her life, wrecked her health, wrecked her life, wrecked everything. Lost her hair, lost her freaking teeth, and horrible thing. But yeah, I mean, chemo is a very bad thing. And unfortunately, these people that are getting this rapid onset won't even have that option. Even though it's a horrible option, you know, it is a life-saving thing in some circumstances. I think Dan Bongino, you know, got over his cancer through it. But it's not,
but even again, that's early onset. And the problem is these people aren't getting early onset. Their onset is already advanced. And that's crazy. Yeah. That is something, again, that's the part of it that it blows my mind. It's not normal.
It's
to
not.
Go from 0 to stage 4 and there's no in between. It's like it just pops up everywhere.
Well, that's what I said when they first came out with this jab, and I would attribute it to the jab. Just me, from my high school knowledge of how cellular stuff works, a cell does a function, it reproduces, it makes 2 more cells that does that function, and that's how the body, you know, a cell dies, but there's another one multiplying, so your
organs repair themselves and they have the, they know what they're supposed to be. And if they don't do their function, if they become a useless cell, they're just a blob. And then they divide into two blobs and then four blobs and then eight blobs. And that becomes what do you call it, a tumor. And that's what cancer is. So when you shoot your body with something that's reprogramming a cell that's doing what a cell should do, but now you're reprogramming it to do something else, that's not what it's supposed to do. That's basically cancer. Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. I mean, how do we know that cell just dies and goes away and it does this? We don't know that. You got injected with the mRNA and now you're in your arm. So that's a muscle. You know, that's a muscle cell doing a muscle thing. Maybe it's not doing the muscle thing anymore. Maybe it's just a blob and it becomes 1,000 blobs.
These cancers tend to be immortal cell lines. You know, it's a weird kind of thing, but they tend to not die. I mean, they don't like to die. Which is interesting. You know, that's exactly kind of what these lab grown meats are. You know,
right? They are, and I'm really worried about that. I don't want to be eating something anymore that I don't know what it is. And I think Angry Tiger and I talked about this a little yesterday, but if they're using fetal material, which is human material, to do these immortal cell lines to grow infinite meat, what happens when a cow eats a cow?
You get prion disease.
And what happens when people eat people? I'm just saying, if we're eating stuff, if it's in your bologna, it's in your sausage, it's in your mac and cheese, whatever. If you got human DNA, I'm not even talking about eating a person, you know, like I'm smoking meth or something. I eat someone's face off. I'm just talking about there's some DNA residue in my food. It's still human tissue. It's human instruction. If I'm eating it, is that the same as eating a person? And is it going to make me have like mad person disease at some point when it accumulates? This questions to ask. I mean, we've seen it in cattle. We know now not to feed cattle beef because their heads explode, you know?
Well, you know, a lot of these early onset dementias are exactly that, you know, that are we see. Really? Well, when we see them in the nursing homes, I've had several, you know, 50 something years old, and they've got, I mean, this bizarre early onset dementia, and they'll say it's prion disease. Well, I know what prion disease is. It's mad cow. Where did they get it? I mean,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to research that because that it could be. I mean, I was talking to Mr. Ocelli. We were on Get Mad with Chris Graves Saturday or whatever. And I brought up the thing about Pepsi and the whole thing with using fetal material to make sugar for the Pepsi drinks and stuff. And I went into that, which turns out to be true that they did. I'm not saying that Pepsi put that stuff in their drink because they just said no. So there you go, debunk, right? Whatever. The thing is, the research was done, and they had fetal material, those immortal cells that they made from like the 70s or whatever. Mm-hmm. They used that as well as rat fetal material, which is disgusting, to make a sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know. And Ocelli was saying that actually this is in a lot of our stuff that we don't know about.
And yes.
Are we consuming, human DNA in the food that we're eating? And is it going to lead to the same thing? Like you said, the early onset dementia, because it's, you know, you eat enough of it.
Well, it's to be a resident at a nursing home in your 50s. I mean, that's, and for a neurologic condition like 50, that,
man.
Huh? I know. Well, think about that. I mean, me too. I mean, I'm not that far. So, you know, we're used to seeing people in their 70s, mid to late 70s, 80s, 90s.
Like that, yeah.
But, you know, we have these patients now that, you know, are in their 50s. You know, don't typically see them less than that, but usually in their 50s and 60s. And it's rapid onset dementia. And I'm wondering, you know, they were talking about these HEK, was it 296 cells that they used in these vaccines, you know, whether it be production or actually in them. If it is in there, is that causing some of this? I don't know. I mean, but nobody's asking the question.
Yeah. And, you know, I've always attributed, because I've noticed that too, that people at a younger and younger age are being put in like nursing care facilities and things like that. Like they seem to become, my grandmother, my great, great grandmother was 103 years old and she used to have a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And her soil, her topsoil would wash off. She lived down in Arkansas, just over the Missouri border, actually right across the lakefront. But her topsoil would wash off and she had a wheelbarrow and she would shovel the topsoil because she wasn't wasting her money. She would shovel mm-hmm. that topsoil and push it up the hill and put it back on her garden. 103 years old. Now you're seeing people at 55, 60 years old that are almost, they can't even like wipe their own ass.
Yeah, they get bed bound.
I've always attributed that to, okay, well, it's because of drug use, you know, the 60s and the 70s. But now I'm thinking maybe it's our food. Maybe it's what we're being, you know, our food, our water, things like that. I don't know.
Very possible. You know, it's hard to track it down when you're not allowed to ask about it.
Right.
I had a patient back in 2008. This is interesting. We got called for arm pain. You know, that was the general complaint, you know, the chief complaint. So we get there and I walked right past her. She was sitting in the living room. I walked right past her and was headed towards the bedrooms because she didn't look 106. And so I was talking to her on the way to the hospital and she had dated a reporter who survived the Titanic.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And I have another patient here, one of my current patients. She's 103 now, who witnessed Pearl Harbor in person. So that was interesting. I sat and talked with her for 2 hours. I was like, screw getting back in service. I need to talk to this lady.
I would monopolize on that as well.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, hey, let's hop off here, man. I got the person living in my house in Missouri was trying to, she's moving out to prepare for us to move in. Really okay. Nice lady. We helped her out with reduced rent and she took care of my house while I was not there. So
great.
Need to check in with her and see how she's doing, make sure everything's okay. Seems pretty urgent because she's like, call me when you can. So,
okay.
All right, Jason. Anyway, brother, hey, thank you so much for coming on. I know this was short notice. We did a whole hour and 15 minute show.
Yeah.
Didn't expect to do that. Keep us apprised to what you're doing as far as this, because this is a very interesting experiment. This is real science here, what you're doing. You do live in the South. So mm-hmm. the whole notion about, oh, it's cold or winter time, whatever. It's already spring, right? It's spring. You're in the South. This should not be happening with birds. So I don't know.
Not only that, I kept a heat lamp and lights on timers in the small shed where I kept them over winter, so they should mm-hmm. have been producing during the winter as well.
Yeah, but they should.
I didn't have that.
I mean, what winter where we're at? There's
not exactly. But you know, I think we had 3 days of really cold weather, and that was it.
You didn't see any snow this year, though, did you?
No, no snow this year.
No snow. So just so folks know, I know you don't know his exact location, but we don't get snow down here. Rarely, very rare. You know. Yeah. All right, brother. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'll hit you back again a few weeks and see what's going on and do an update episode.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for having me, Jason. It was good to hear from you.
All right. Let me play the outro and we'll be done, brother. All right. Until we meet again, folks.
You've been watching The Foxhole with Jason Barker.